In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oi, the boys on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language. And sometimes tales are quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
You're listening to This Just In on Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
What would football be without drama? Conte, we didn't tell you Tottenham were going to challenge with the big boys. And oh my God, you thought things were bad at Manchester United before? Wait till you hear Wonger's take on Brentford's big triumvirate triumph. This is Footy Prime. My name is Brendan Dunlop. I learned that word from producer Dan Wong in the most recent TikTok video produced by the Footy Prime social media team. Producer Dan Wong is here, as is former Premier League goalkeeper and Canadian Sports Hall of Famer Craig Forrest, and the first ever captain in Toronto FC history and Nottingham Forest regular star, former player, now super fan, Jimmy Brennan. We've never discussed this. I don't know how you want to be introduced when it comes to your team. Just Tricky Jimmy? It sounds misleading.
The move. Just put the move on.
Every year he's going to have Jimmy, a different team in the Premier League. It'll be Norwich, then it'll be Nottingham Forest, then it'll be Norwich, then it'll be Nottingham Forest.
Just yellow, Jimmy Forest?
Red, yellow.
Little Southampton. No, I like Forest. Come on.
The move, because he moved a lot. That's where it comes from. The move. No, Wonger, that's a great callback.
I actually didn't move really much compared to a lot of people in football.
For a 15-year pro career? 15-year?
Yeah, maybe they liked me. That's why I stayed at most of my clubs for a while.
That could be.
Yeah, I stayed at Ipswich probably too long.
Well, I got to be honest. I didn't think you guys would keep me around this long.
I would have killed myself staying in Ipswich that long.
Hey, it's a cute little town. Don't be attacking Ipswich. Is Ipswich the type of place, Craig, where they would record like a series of Christmas movies? You know, those like subpar television Christmas movies? I feel like Ipswich would be a place to do that.
Not Ipswich town itself, but in the outskirts, there'd definitely be little villages and towns and things like that that are definitely beautiful for... a setting like that.
Mm. One of those Hallmark movies, Lifetime Hallmarks.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. In Ontario, Hamilton.
It is stuck out there, though. It's not an easy place to get to.
Mm. Well,
no, you wouldn't go there on your holidays, would you?
Hey. They used to go to Alborough, which is in some of those coastal towns, very quiet. And that was a holiday spot for a lot of people. Or a destination during the war for all the kids.
For all the old heads?
Yeah.
You want to read a book?
If you do want to read a book, check out D-Row My Life, the story of Dwayne DeRosario.
Ipswich sucks. Hey, who wrote that book anyways?
Elena Watko. It was with the foreword by Lennox Lewis. Really good book.
What are you going to say about Ipswich?
So for those of you that were in some sleepy summer town and don't have internet access at the cottage, you missed a hell of a Premier League weekend, eh, boys? Thanks for matching my energy level. That's good. We'll start with the headliner on Sunday, which was a Super Sunday Super Clash between two of London's biggest clubs. One who's had their hands on the Champions League trophy, the Premier League trophy, and one who can only dream of putting their hands on trophies. Chelsea 2, Tottenham 2. What a finish at the bridge, Jimmy Brennan, whose internet has just crashed out. I think we're doing too much content, guys. I think the internet and the universe is telling us your boys are burnt out. Craig?
No, we're good.
All right. What did you think of the game? We'll wait for Jimmy to come back in. I feel like we can just get right into it, hit the ground running, because there was a lot of running up and down that touchline. Wasn't there? They're going to have to lay the grass on that side now, because they've just been sprinting back and forth, the two managers across the manager's boxes.
Second game of the season. Amazing, eh? I mean, the passion and the incidents in the games too. You know, Chelsea could argue that, you know, both goals from Spurs shouldn't have counted. You could argue that Chelsea could finish a little bit better. That game should have been done. Sterling had a great chance, Havertz with a great ball. It was terrific. And then in the end of the game, I didn't see it, but apparently Conte was given a red card and sent off. So with a little fracas on the sideline, which doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, if you didn't see it because the stream cut out, do know that every Sunday, at least for the time being, after the headline game, which will end around 1:25 p.m. Eastern time, we will be live on Twitter, the Footy Prime Twitter account, which is footy_prime, and the Footy Prime YouTube channel, giving you your post-game fill. So I'll fill you in, Craig, as to what happened. In the handshakes, Thomas Tuchel walked towards Conte as Tuchel was walking towards the center of the pitch. Conte's walking now back towards the touchline. They have a very strong grip, you can see just from the television cameras, and neither of them committed to letting go as their motion took them around in a bit of a merry-go-round, a spin-around. And Conte, the look on Conte's face now, and is fully back to the touchline and facing the opposite direction, facing the center of the pitch. The fury in his face, that it became a, you let go. No, you let go. No, you let go. As they both just gripped into each other's hands. And then as the shouting starts, and I do wonder what language they were shouting at each other in. I'd love to catch that video. Everybody flurries in. And it felt like those baseball brawls, when the pitcher's staring down the batter and then the batter takes five steps and then everybody floods in and just elevates the ruckus. That's exactly what that felt like.
So who actually let go?
I think they got pulled off of each other.
Oh, yeah. They started kicking dirt on each other's shoes.
I'm surprised that Tuchel didn't let go. I know we talked about this a bit on the post-game show, but yeah, I did not think that Tuchel would be someone that would challenge Antonio Conte in a physical altercation.
He had a good grip there.
He did.
He pulled him right in.
Well,
I liked it.
He had nearly as good a grip as Chelsea had on that game.
Oh, yeah. The first half. And they let that grip slip, didn't they?
Maybe he was asking him where he got his plugs. Come here, you. Where'd you get those plugs?
Exactly. You have the best hair. You have the best hair transplant in the world.
Your hair is beautiful. The color.
Yeah.
What? Not one gray hair.
No. Well, not even that. Like, he was bald.
I went to Dr. Istanbul, and he didn't give me as good of a job. Well, I told you to go here, and you told me to go there.
Yeah. That would be Tuchel's kind of like me, where I don't think there's any hope.
Is that something you'd want to do, Craig? Should we be looking into that? Wonger, should you be speaking to Turkish hair replacement cosmetic clinics for our boy Craig Forrest?
Well, only if he does like a full-on curly afro. I think that's what we'd have to be part of the voting system to say what best suits his hair. Because yeah, maybe that Grecian formula, the
I would
only
need
for
a,
men.
An African-American hair to be transplanted, and I would have a full afro. Can you imagine? That would look awesome.
Would.
I would have, it would be like, I'd have a way out.
Like yeah, like Shaft back in the day. Richard exactly. Roundtree.
Or do it like a Rick James.
Yeah, and I'd have one of those combs in
Ooh.
It.
Rick James was bald like Conte. That was all like a wiggy kind of thing going on.
Really?
This has been a real theme with us. We did this in the post-game show, and now we've carried it over. And for those of you who have not seen the USA 94 photos of Antonio Conte playing for Italy, where the wind blows and there's nothing on the top. It's just the scarcest of hair across the top. Mm-hmm. To see him now as a confidently full-headed man, full head of hair man, I should say, makes it quite entertaining.
Yeah, he looks great, to be honest.
You know who I thought was really on their game today? Kai Havertz. He was hungry. He looked up for it. He was bulldozing guys late in that second half.
Yeah. No, he did. He worked hard. I liked it. What a great effort that was. Look, it's always, for me, you know, if I put myself in a situation where I'm playing a match and I see my striker working their ass off like he was working today, I tell you, it motivates you. It gets everybody going. There's nothing worse than playing with a lazy striker that's not closing down, because you defend from the top first. Yeah. And when you see a striker working his ass off, closing down, look, there was a couple of times he's giving little cheap shots where he's running into guys and he's just letting people know he's in a game. He was up for it today. And you could see it motivates everybody. I thought it was a terrific performance. Still think he should have scored that goal. Mm-hmm. That ball that was whipped in. I understand Craig saying, you know, you might have lost track of it as it got whipped in, but look, for a striker, you know, that's your job. You got to bury that. You got to put it in the back of the net.
I agree with you there, Jimmy, as far as that goes. I just give him a little bit of, you know, benefit of the doubt when it came around the defender, so he would have. And the pace of the ball was just
it was whipped.
Coming in at 100 mile an hour.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Sharman said on a post-game show, he thinks this is the best rivalry in the Premier League now. Do you think it is, Jimmy?
I think it's getting there now. Obviously, look, when it's intense like that, you know, players are at it, management's at it, everybody's going after it. It just creates that momentum, and you know, the fans will be seeing that, and then the fans will be want to go at each other, and it's really good. It's heating up, that's for sure. There's no doubt about it. That London rivalry is heating up for sure. It is.
And they're also very close to each other as far as where they are in the league. You know, I mean, I don't think you can get far away from the Liverpool, you know, Man United thing. But right now, United's in a tailspin and Liverpool's in a different world. So, but you look at these two teams right now, they're quite similar in where they are in the league positions, where they hope to be anyway.
Yeah. No, I agree. Top four. Well, they're fighting for the same spots, aren't they? Mm. They're going for it. So, you know, I loved it. I love it when it's like that. And I love when the managers get into it with the other manager, because then it fires you up. If I'm on that field and I see my manager going crazy and their manager's fighting, the players are at it, it just creates a wicked energy in a game.
Got a really clothesline, Tuchel. If somebody ran across me, I'd just give them just put my arm out, straight arm, clothesline them.
Yeah. Put him in a sleeper.
Who was the most fiery manager you had?
I had Tony Pulis was fiery.
Yeah?
Yeah, Tony Pulis, especially when he was younger. I had him early. He was aggressive. Joe Jordan was pretty aggressive. Who else? That was it. Everybody else was pretty chilled. You know, David Platt was pretty chilled. Paul Hart, he could get going. He could light it up, but
that was it. Stories about Tony Pulis, and you can correct me or nod or deny that he had a tendency after probably tight or frustrating matches that he would go into the change room immediately, and before he would speak to the team, he'd take a shower, and he would just yell about in the shower before coming out and speaking to the team?
No, he'd come in and give you a bollocking, that's for sure. Mm. He didn't hold back.
Maybe it was in later years. Maybe he felt like he had to let it out alone before he let it out to the team.
Oh, maybe. To 10.
Yeah, maybe. I don't remember him having a shower though, but yeah, he was pretty aggressive.
Harry was fiery. Harry Redknapp.
You'd kind of laugh though, wouldn't you, when he got fired up? You must start giggling. I would start giggling if he got fired up.
Oh yeah. I remember we were having a stinker and a fan threw his wallet of season tickets. And it hit Harry in the back of the head. And Harry turns around, picks him up, looks at him. He's like, got this guy's name on it, all the season tickets. And the guy's like, that's it, I'm out. I'm not coming back. And Harry's like, yeah, you fucking idiot. He's like, I got your season tickets. And he starts calling them names and they start arguing in the crowd. And Upton Park was tight. So, you know, so then all the fans, they sort of took sides with Harry and then the guy. And then it was just, I was like, man, Harry, what are you getting involved with here? But they're his own people. They're all the same. The EastEnders, man, they get fired up.
It's one of the things that made him such a character, though, right? Mm. I don't think there was anyone that he wouldn't have a go at or was afraid of.
Yeah,
he'd be someone that if he was locked into a you let go of my hand first standoff with another manager, he'd be right in it.
Oh yeah,
turn his head off.
Craig, tell him the one where and if people are listening as well, they can go on YouTube and Google it. The one where the player hits him on the back of the head with a football.
That's
and
right.
Everybody yells at him and says, that's why you're playing. See,
everybody knew, like, and he wanted to see Harry flip out too, right?
Yeah.
Because he just loses his mind and that would just make it even funnier. So guys are laughing at him, right? So he's doing a interview about a game coming up and somebody's pinged the ball and I think it hit him right in the head or something. Like, it hit him hard. And he turned and he started absolutely laying into this guy. And he's, I forget what he said. He was like, he goes, what are you doing? He goes, and the kid, they go, oh, we're taking shots. We're shooting. And he's like, you're shooting on net and you fucking hit me. And he's like, oh, yeah. And then he starts doing the interview again, but he can't let it go. and he stops the interview. He turns and goes, that's why you're in the fucking reserves.
It's brilliant, man. It's amazing. The best part, because that, you're right, though. The best part is when he can't let it go. He goes back to the interview and they start talking again. He's like, no, can't let it go. That's why you're in the fucking reserves.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I mean, he loved working with guys who bad apples, you know, guys that no other clubs would really take, you know, or are a little bit reluctant to, you know, Razor Ruddock, you know, he's a guy that's hard to manage. He's one of a kind. DeCanio took him after the referee pushing incident. And when the referee actually took a dive,
Alcock. That was embarrassing, wasn't it?
That's another one on YouTube. Paul Alcock. And DeCanio push. Anyway, he got suspended for a long time, but you know, he had a reputation for being really difficult to manage. And he was really difficult to manage. But for some reason, Harry just liked all that banter and
draw.
Arguing and oh Christ, he almost encouraged it. It was amazing.
Do you think that you would have been able to have played in a change room with someone like Cristiano Ronaldo, specifically in this time period now where this club is trying to transcend, trying to start a new chapter, and yet you have one of the greatest footballers of all time who clearly wants nothing to do with this transition process and feels entitled to do things his own way?
Mm.
Craig?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I mean, if that was going on in my dressing room, you got one of the very best players that have ever played the world and on this planet, maybe the best all around player. And he's pulling those types of stunts in your dressing room and your team, and you're just taking it left, right, and center from the media, from your former players, from the fans, your manager's giving it to you. This is supposed to be the new guru coming in, and it's just started off terribly, and you have that. So it's not something I would go public with. Because you're not going to win that, no, with Ronaldo's history and what he's won. But it'd just be like, you know, it'd be nice if you put on at least half of what you did in your former career to help us out here. And I wouldn't be afraid to say that to him. But end of the day, you need him on the side. If he's going to stay at the club and if he performs at his best, they might do okay. But he could literally pull that dressing room apart.
Yeah. Well, I think that match against Brentford, losing 4-0 on Saturday, that might pull the season apart.
Right,
Jimmy?
Hey, listen. Let's put it this way. You got Ronaldo who's in that dressing room. The man, whether you like him or not, is a winner. He wins. Yeah. Wins championships. He wins leagues. He's won everything there is to win. Now, you lose 4-0. you're going to expect him to be losing his mind. Man United's not performing. They're not picking up results. Turmoil. The place is a mess. Mm-hmm. Of course he's pissed off. Of course he's pissed off. He wants to win. He wants to play.
But if his attitude isn't good, Jimmy, and it's been poor in training, and he left it, yeah, you know, at the halftime when the preseason game and things like that, it just does not.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't fit in well, right? And I totally get that. But he's got a standard that's up here. Everything that he's done in his career is about winning. And if he's in that dressing room and he's looking around at these guys going, fucking nobody here wants to win. He's losing his mind. He's losing his shit. Mm. Of course he's going to be losing it. What's the club expect? He's got standards that are up here, and Man United standards aren't there where they should be.
Not even close.
So, not even close. And he's probably looking at the players saying, and you guys probably think this is acceptable. Well, it's not. And he's losing his mind. Rightly so.
Starting the season, though, with him was always going to lead to some type of problem. I mean, they were always going to struggle out the gate with this new system, the way Ten Hag trying to use David De Gea like he's Emerson. I mean, I think it was that second goal. And he's looking at Christian Eriksen, who's so far back. What the hell? What was he going to do? Eriksen had no option with the ball as that outlet anyway. That's clearly someone who's overthinking, who's been grilled into some new type of system to try and play from the back against a side that was just fueled with confidence, Brentford, after getting the first one.
Yeah, you have to pick and choose your moments when you want to do that. However, I mean, if you're good enough and you lay that ball into somebody, it doesn't matter if somebody's on your back. It's everything going. They can give it back to the goalkeeper if he's comfortable with it, make angles, play out. You see Man City do it all the time.
Yeah.
But he didn't put the ball in a very good position, and it was stolen off him. So first he lets a soft one in, and he's been their best player over the last couple of years, De Gea, for me, in my opinion. And if he starts leaking goals and doesn't stand on his head, you're never in a good position. So he lets that one go underneath him. Bad technique. Must have swerved because he just went with his arms instead of going down. Technically, it was very poor. And then he gives that one away, and then they give up a set piece. And it was like, ooh. So they can't do anything well. And if your best player starts doing that, you're in trouble.
I hate throwing around superlatives, but it's hard not to with this. And yes, recency bias. But Jimmy, is this the craziest Premier League result you can remember? The most unpredictable. If you looked at the odds for this game, I'm not sure what they were, but normally with a side like that going up against United for the perfect score, you'd probably get plus 7,000.
Look, nobody in the world would have predicted that Brentford would have won 4-0 and scored 4 goals in 30 minutes. Not even you, Warner.
Actually, he did pick them to win, though.
He said that they wouldn't, but nobody would have thought they would have scored 4 goals.
No, I said they take the over, and I said if you want to take the parlay, I said United is a mess, and I'd say take the parlay if you wanted to have some more fun and go for the win. And I forget what the numbers were, but they were significant. And I won a box of candy corn and some large Nibs licorice. So it was a good day.
Oh, you're gambling with Sharms' wagers here?
That's right. That's right.
$2.27 wager.
And a 4-pack of drumsticks. You know, the caramel drumsticks? I like those.
Oh, you're a big chicken wing drumstick guy.
Oh, that's even... I like those, too. I'm talking the ice cream. Drumsticks with the cone.
Of course.
That's only the third time Man United have conceded 4 goals in the first half ever.
I know.
In the Premier League, 30 years.
They just seem like so broken. You saw 4. And Craig, did you think, I don't know, we were joking about it on Twitter. Did you think, shit, if it gets to 6, might as well get to 9?
You know, I did and I didn't, because I just thought, well, I mean, the only way they're going to do that is if they keep throwing goals in, and I don't think De Gea was going to do that anymore, and I thought they would tighten up somewhat. But I did joke about it.
Just wild. Quinton Fortune and Owen Hargreaves were on the broadcast, the Premier League Productions broadcast, and they were just so embarrassed by the lack of fight. And Hargreaves said, "No one that's ever been associated with Manchester United can believe what just happened today."
No. That's embarrassing. That's a lowest of the low for them to lose 4-0 at Brentford away. It's terrible.
My next question.
I bet, though, you could probably go back in time and the last few seasons, 3 years maybe, you could probably see him line him up with, this is the worst performance I've ever seen. This is the worst performance. I've never seen something so bad. And it just gets worse and worse. But I think he's right on this one. I think this might have topped it.
Yeah. I couldn't. Could you imagine being Gary Neville or Roy Keane on Saturday, sitting in the studio, knowing that you have to come up and speak on this?
Oh, they probably would have left. They probably would have went home.
Yeah, they would have pulled a Ronaldo and a Diogo Dalot and left at halftime. Yeah. I would have.
I think Neville lost as a manager 7-0 though at home once when he was in Spain.
Valencia.
Yeah.
He's pretty open about that, eh? I don't know if you've seen too much or heard him speak much, Jimmy, about how, you know, he wanted it so bad that he didn't realize how unprepared he was for the situation. Yeah. And then how it's totally ruined his thought of what management could be, that he doesn't want to do it again.
Yeah. Well, it happens. I mean, I think a lot of people get into it and coaching, think it's easy. I mean, look, it's easy for us to talk about it.
Yeah.
But when you're a manager and if you've never been in that situation, it's difficult. It is very, very difficult. It's hard. And he found out firsthand, and at least he's open about it and tells you, hey, listen, didn't go according to plan. I didn't think it was going to be as difficult as it was. And that's why he's not ready to jump back into it. I mean, he's great talking about football, but you can see as well, he's definitely got appreciation for managers and what they do and what they're going through.
Is that cliche that your comfort zone will kill you, right? For as good as things can be when you're in a situation, if you're ambitious, like all of these men in football are, there's going to be eventually a time where they want to do something else. Do you think Aaron Ten Hag regrets choosing now as the time? Because I do wonder if it was another club, if it was a Spurs.
I think, look, he's ambitious, and that's why he's taking that job. You're taking one of the best jobs in football. Yeah. And he probably definitely thought, listen, I can probably make a difference here, and I'm going to test myself. After that result, the 4-0, he's probably on the bus home thinking, what the fuck have I just done? I was so comfortable 3 months ago.
It's one of those jobs like, you know, David Moyes, when he took it, it's like, they were in decline. You know, they were definitely lucky to win that year and they were aging. And Alex Ferguson was like, it's my time to get off this because there's a big job ahead of them no matter what. So you can't follow Alex Ferguson. You just really can't. You can't win that. I mean, that's the standard that's very difficult to possibly keep, but you can't turn the job down.
Yeah.
It's Man United. It's like, you're not going to get another chance to do it. It's not like you say, oh, I'm not ready yet. Cause you're probably not going to get the chance again. So of course you're going to take it, but yeah, you're right. On the bus going home, you must be something living in a twilight zone. Like what has just happened over the last few weeks?
Yeah. I'll direct this to all of you, but let's start with Wonger because Wonger was the closest with his prediction for the game. Is Erik ten Hag the manager of Manchester United when the World Cup kicks off in November, Wonger?
Yeah, I don't think I don't know which direction they're going to be. I mean, they're at the bottom now, so they could stay around the bottom. I'd say you keep them and you try and give these guys some pride in the locker room. I don't know what's going on. I can understand you guys are talking about Ronaldo. I can understand him being, like Jimmy said, this guy's used to winning. But there is also this level of, you know, he's supposed to be a leader now. And you can't just be a leader by being pissed off. You got to bring up some of these guys. There's guys there that, I mean, they're not performing. And yeah, he'll still be the manager. I think it's crazy to get rid of the manager like that when, you know, this is the beginning of the season. I remember all the Gunners fans last year at the beginning of the season, Arsenal, after they lost to Brentford in the first, I think it was first 2 weeks, everybody was, I hate being an Arsenal fan, and they turned it around and now look at them.
I just think that if there was a situation where they're like, how many games before the World Cup? I mean, if they're lost 6-1-2 or something like that, is that bad? I don't. It's just a results-driven business. It's just who survives that? Nobody. I don't think would survive that, let alone at Manchester United. And so the merry-go-round continues.
The magnitude is so much bigger, and everyone feels it at Manchester United. It's just—it's always been that way. It's the blessing and the curse of being the biggest club in the world, right? But you look at Frank de Boer. It was Frank, right? Frank de Boer at Palace.
Mm.
Four games. He lasted 4 games. They didn't score a single goal. Jose Mourinho, great quote. It was like, he's the worst manager in Premier League history. That's a fact. Statistically, you cannot argue it. Frank de Boer, the worst manager in Premier League history? Look at the stats.
Well, fellas, let me ask you this, though. Is United as a roster as bad as the results?
Of course not.
That's what I mean. So they have the ability on a talent level to turn this around. Now it's up to them, right? Mm.
They're not getting relegated. Anyone who's right. fantasizing, but you're being senile. Yep. But unlike other teams, where every club is going to have two chapters this season, because the season is broken up into Clausura and Apertura because of the World Cup. But United will have three. And the third one is the first one, and it's this Ronaldo era. And this either ends or it changes. It ends with him going, or he fully buys in and he doesn't start every game. And I can't see that happening, to be honest. And then they'll have their flow. The World Cup will interrupt it, whether the flow is good or bad. The World Cup will interrupt it, and then they have the second part of the season. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Craig?
What's that got to do with it?
Just the fact that their season in particular
is three different seasons.
Yes, they're gonna have three. They're gonna. Do you agree that the three?
Yeah.
Yes, well, Jimmy agrees with you a lot and makes for a very non-competitive radio. I should have just directed the question to Jimmy.
I would have probably said the same as what Craig just said. I'd be like, "The fuck's this guy talking about?
What are you talking about?"
It's every now and then. Now I'm in the shadow of Wonger's analytics, I guess. I'm just. Yeah.
I think they might be stuck.
The bar's been raised.
They might be stuck with Ronaldo. He's making so much money. There's only a few clubs could afford it. And no, with his attitude and his age and everything at the moment, I don't think he's going anywhere.
So at the time of recording, the reports are that Manchester United are looking into the possibility of terminating his contract.
Yep.
Because of his attitude and behavior, that there's some issue that he corrects that and adjusts his behavior, or they will seek out how to actually terminate his contract.
Good luck with that.
What are the obstacles?
Good luck with that.
What are the obstacles in sending in their way? Do they not have the power to do that?
The PFA would get involved in that. You can fine him all you like. You can fine him 2 weeks' wages for leaving the ground early. There's various different things. But if you're going to try to actually terminate his contract, primarily because you want him off his, but you want rid of him. Like, you know, if he was, you know, the guy and he was in his prime, they would bend over backwards for him.
Yeah.
It all depends on the situation. Right now, they'd love to get him off the books, but that's, they got no shot, Jimmy. Not legally.
You can't just say we're going to terminate and away you go. It's got to be mutual consent.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they said we're going to terminate and he goes, I don't want it terminated, and they did it, well, you got a big lawsuit on your hands. But if they both agree to it, then you can do it. Like, you can't just, I couldn't just sign you and then 2 months into it go, I'm terminating your contract, you're gone. You'd be like, go fuck yourself. I got 3 years left.
Yeah.
So there has to be a mutual agreement.
But this happens behind the scenes all the time, where the clubs are not necessarily giving them a fair out clause, hoping that a toxic situation or the player's own ambitions, dreams, and ego will see them commit to some shit exit clause.
Yeah, correct? but in their contract as well, there's certain little gray areas. You know, it's performance based, and you have to, you know, respect the club, and you have to perform, and you've got to do this, and you've got to do that. And so they'll be looking at certain areas in his contract to say, okay, well, you're not meeting these standards that we've agreed to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they'll be fishing around. The lawyers definitely trying to figure out how they can get rid of him if they plan to. But
what about tweeting a photo of
Craig? Craig's right, though. Like, the PFA, they'll be watching the situation as well.
Tweeting a photo of the kit before you go in for the photo shoot. That'd be a good way to let the club know you want the hell out. we've seen that. Do you remember that, Josie? Yeah.
I think before it's quite clear he would love to get out.
No, it certainly is.
But Wonger's, before we go on, Wonger posted on there that, and it's an interesting read that I mentioned before, but it actually is quite more interesting than I thought it was. United have conceded 4 goals in the first half on 3 occasions since October 2020, something which had never happened before in the Premier League. These were against Tottenham in October 2020, Liverpool 2020.
Last October, yeah.
Yeah, last October.
And then now Brentford.
And then Brentford.
Yeah, I tweeted that stat yesterday. It's crazy that it's a theme with United, right? That somehow they've fallen into that. We always talk about, joke about Southampton that keeps getting pummeled, right? 7-0? Was it 9-0? It happened twice?
Yes, it was 9.
Yes. He was praying it was going to be 10.
Yeah.
Come on, one more.
Just seems so crazy that it would happen twice. So
They did it at home. They lost 9-0 at home,
which is crazy.
Yeah.
Craig doesn't want to lose that, though.
It bumps me.
That's good infamy. He gets called all the time.
I know.
Always gets the scribes over in England always give him a holler when anyone comes close.
People love Craig, though. Whoever takes that from him, like if it was Hugo Lloris or, I don't know, Mendy or Kepa, they're not going to enjoy that infamy, and people aren't going to want to talk to them. We're very lucky, Craig, that that's what you're famous for.
I know. One game, eh?
Your loss, our game. You know who Manchester United play next?
No. Oh, yes.
Liverpool, don't they? Yes. Liverpool.
At home, right?
I cannot wait for that. I cannot wait for that. See what situation they're going to be in. Like, talk about the worst possible schedule. It shouldn't have been. When you looked at it, it shouldn't have been at all. But exactly that for them. Yeah, absolutely disastrous. Let's bounce around some other games quickly. Arsenal 4, Leicester 2. It looked like they'd let Leicester back in the game, but you know what Arsenal's been missing forever, Craig, and they've got it now. They're ruthless. They're cutthroat, and I don't think that they're going to be beaten like that in the past or collapse in matches as we've seen before when the team puts up a fight. They might let you back in, but they still got the knockout blow.
Yeah, they do. They do have that. That was an interesting game too. I kind of fear for Leicester a little bit. They haven't, you know.
Yeah.
Done a lot. What have they done in the offseason, really? Anything?
Trying to keep hold of Fofana. I feel like
that's trying to keep a hold of players. Schmeichel's gone too. It just seems odd to not seeing Schmeichel in net.
No.
Yeah. That is weird.
They're trying to keep hold of Madison. I feel as though they just probably haven't been able to do much business because they're spending so much energy and time to try and keep the guys they have.
Yeah.
Leicester's a team I worry for too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gabriel Jesus bagged too. Afterwards, he was talking about how great it is essentially to have a manager who believes in him, who backs him, and how he's the type of player that needs minutes and has always said this, and now he's getting minutes, and that's why he's performing. For a kind of a soft-spoken guy, I liked how direct he was.
Yeah, it's him just having a little dig, isn't it? But he wasn't complaining when he was lifting up the Premier League trophy
at Man
City, was he?
He did say that as well. He did say how much he loved his time at Manchester City. That
of course,
was the preface
to
that
change,
line.
And now he's in a new environment. He's enjoying it, but he's playing with a lot of confidence. That's for sure. Looks good.
His old team don't miss him because Manchester City can still score goals for fun from everywhere. 4-0 winners over Bournemouth. So that means that Aston Villa have no chance because Villa couldn't beat Bournemouth. They're just going to get pummeled by City. But I thought that City are in a good form. You'd expect 6 points from the start of the season for them, the way the fixture list was, but like they look pretty good. They look pretty dangerous.
I mean, they're fun to watch, aren't they?
I think they're if you're Bournemouth or pretty much half of the teams in the Premier League, you come out of there with a 3 or 4-0 loss and you're not too devastated.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly.
Like they got potential to put 8-9 past somebody. If they want.
Oh, easily.
They do.
if you get a team that's just off on the day a little bit, you're getting 7-8 put against you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They had three. They were up 3-0 in the 37th minute. Kevin De Bruyne, though, God, for anyone who loves Canada, the Canadian men's national team, I'm terrified for that Belgium game, Greg.
Not half as terrified as the defenders for Canada.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just trying to be, you know, in sync with them, connected with them. Holy hell.
I think he's got to pick up a tweak. I think he's, you know, not, like I said, I tweeted something out, like, you know, nothing serious. Just a little hammy, you know, keeps him out of the game.
COVID.
And seven COVID. Others.
Yeah.
Yeah, seven others would help too. No, they're going to be dangerous, Belgium, especially the form he's in. Honestly, he's absolutely deadly. Liverpool play tomorrow, the Monday nighter, which feels like, for me, kind of throws off the schedule a little bit. You're waiting for City and Liverpool to either play back-to-back time slots. But I like having the Monday night game to look forward to, something to distract me on Monday afternoon and make me even less productive and organized. Tell you who looked really organized, and they looked more organized, but they weren't as impressive as I had hoped. Aston Villa, they beat Everton 2-1, which I think is more of a shot at Everton because they're just so scrambled and out of sorts. But at least they look better than they did against Bournemouth. And for the first time, Danny Ings and Ollie Watkins proved they can play together for me, because that's not something that has ever worked. And when Dean Smith bought Ings, I thought, Jesus, 4-4-2 just doesn't work anymore consistently. How are you going to play these two together? But I think they may have found a groove with him.
Yeah, I watched the highlights of that one. I didn't really watch the whole game.
Emi Buendia was outstanding. You know, yeah. he's keeping Philippe Coutinho out of the side. And he may continue to. I don't know if that'll be the new thing. Talk about playing with each other. I don't know if Buendia and Coutinho can play with each other. No. How much
either or?
How much pressure is on Frank Lampard? We knew that he'd be starting with a ton, but was there a bit of a leash this season, considering they'd lost Richarlison and it was his first full season?
Well, we said at the beginning he was going to be the first one that we thought probably could get fired. There's a hell of a lot of pressure on him going into this season, because people want to see obviously where they finished off last year, narrowly escaping relegation. People want to see there's improvement, and if they're not improving, then they're going to look and say, right, you've got to move on, because you can't have the same battle that they had last year.
And I don't see them being, I don't look at them now and think they're better. Mm-mm. At all. Now they, you know, pick up an injury there in the first one too, in the first game.
Yeah.
Did you see Brighton 0, Newcastle 0? It's a game I was expecting to maybe see some goals from, but maybe they're just two teams that are in their stride. They cancel each other out. Very, very well managed. Very well coached.
Yeah. Newcastle have done really well, actually. I think for results-wise, I think they've done as well as just about anybody over the last, you know, 3 months counting.
Yeah. I forget
last year.
I forget what it was, February or March, but the points totals in comparison to the other sides in the Prem, they would be in a top four place, and third or fourth, I think, in terms of the points that have accumulated since they've really found a stride with, I think, Bruno Guimarães is incredible. I think he's going to be such a coup. And they're just going to add, you know, obviously they've got the money. They're going to get to a point, I think, very soon where they're not being hit with such a tax. They're always going to overpay a little bit, but not with the extortionate fees that people are looking for now. Maybe they pick up the phone and get Ronaldo up there. What do you think? Feel bad for Wilson if they did that.
Whoever's running that, the operation there, they don't seem to be, but they're certainly doing it differently than the LIV Golf Tour. Oh, see you, Jimmy.
Just more patient than you expect.
More patient, yeah.
Jimmy's not so patient. I don't think Jimmy's enjoying the program today.
Doing all something silly and going crazy. They're not doing that.
No. No, they have been more responsible, I think, than we all expected. The joke was that they'd be linked with Mbappe and Haaland and everyone that they could pay.
Yeah.
And they're still likely to be able to pay some of those elite A-list guys. I wouldn't be surprised if in the next 2 years they don't have someone of that blockbuster superstar name. But they're not. They've not been reckless. They've been.
Yeah.
They've been
well, I don't surprise. I won't be surprised in a couple of years. But it surprised me somewhat that they've gone into it this way, which I actually think is actually great. I think it's a good way to go about it. Build slowly. Don't just go absolutely crazy. And pick your pieces and pick your times and your moments. And you know, whoever the general manager is, when they're talking to people, they pulled out a lot of deals because whoever they were talking to, all of a sudden that player's doubled in price.
Everyone's trying to fleece them, Newcastle.
Fleece them.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Did you see Leeds and Southampton? 2-2. Nice late comeback for the Saints at home. Kyle Walker-Peters with a big goal to secure a point for the Saints.
2-0 down, right?
They were 2-0 down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rodrigo had the brace for Jesse Marsh's Leeds. I think Leeds are going to do all right. They're going to hit some bumps in the road, but I think they're playing okay.
They let
Southampton into that match, but they were away and it's still early in the season. But any of the relegation concerns that people would have had last year for Leeds so far, I don't see it. I don't see it. I like Brendan Aaronson a lot. I'm biased from having watched him in MLS a bit and thinking he's one of the most underrated players on that U.S. men's national team that on paper, I look at that U.S. team, not as good as Canada. Honestly, not as good. And he's one of the brightest stars there. And if you put him on Canada, if you were trying to do a best 11, he's fourth or fifth down the depth chart for me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I see it. You can tweet us if you disagree with me, you Americans, American Outlaws.
Oh, for sure they do.
Footy_prime. Wolves nil, Fulham nil. I didn't see that, to be fair. But another draw for Fulham's good for the Cottagers. Come straight back up.
Yeah. Mitrovic was feisty.
I feel like there's one game I'm forgetting, Wonger. Is there a game from the Prem that I missed? Is there right. Oh, it's the Derby. It's the Jimmy Brennan Craig Forrest Derby. See, Jimmy, I just wanted to manage your energy since we started so hot before. I wanted to make sure you had enough energy to close out our Premier League recap.
To throw down your earphones and your headphones and your microphone on the table.
Yeah, the mic drop. Us.
Oh, mic drop.
It's okay. Just so you know, broadcaster courtesy. Just do the mute before you do that. We'll extensively edit it out. No problem. Nottingham Forest. What a result, man! What a place! Like that ground was buzzing. You could feel it through the television. I was happy for you. Sorry, Craig, but I was happy for Jimmy.
It was a great result. Great result. It was a long time coming. You know, the fans have been starved of the Premier League for 20-odd years. To finally have a home game. The place was electric. And even the manager at the end of the game said this was for everybody, for the fans as well. You know, they couldn't get tickets to that match because it was such a – they were hot, those tickets. Nobody could get them. But I thought, you know, their performance overall, they looked organized. You know, they had a few good chances. You got to give credit to West Ham as well. You know, they were unlucky. They hit the crossbar twice, missed a penalty. And if you're a West Ham fan, you'd be thinking you should have got something out of the game. So they'll be disappointed. But it was just meant to be Forest Day. And it's good to see that they got a win at home, 3 points now. And now they just continue to hopefully build on that.
And I said it before, that I think Cooper's one of the best managers around. I think he's proved it at all levels. And what he did last year with that team and then what he's had to do in a very short period of time after winning the playoffs, which leaves you even shorter period of time because the season's even starting earlier this year. They were well organized for if they won or if they didn't. I think they had scenarios already worked out. And as soon as they won that game, I don't think they were in the dressing room before they were doing deals. Mm. There are 12 or 13 players they brought in. That just didn't happen overnight. You just pick it out of the sky. This is already planned in advance if they were going to get promoted. But then you got to put that team together. And I think overall, not particularly great at Newcastle. Didn't create an awful lot. But again, first game of the season, new ownership, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be a really tough place to go. And that's kind of what West Ham hit today at Forest. First time in the Premier League for years. First home game. That play, like you said, you could feel it through the TV. It was great.
And West Ham will feel like they, how the hell they didn't score a goal. Penalty shot. I thought that would set them off. The crossbars, the two attempts come down on the line. Henderson making really good saves.
No, they've done really well. I think we talked a little bit more about it in the post-game show that we did. So if you've not seen that, you can check out our post-match show from Chelsea Tottenham where we get into that on YouTube or on Twitter. What did it look like through the TV, Toronto FC, Saturday night? Because I was there in the South End. And got to be honest, when Portland nicked that equalizer, I thought, oh, shit, they've given this away. I think they kind of had their chances. They maybe were a little too patient, Toronto FC, before. They weren't as lethal as you expect with the attacking forces that they have. Bernardeschi and Insigne were a little off. They were mishitting balls. Insigne looked angry with the field. I don't know if he's going to raise a stink about the CFL team playing there. He spent all those games in the suites watching TFC before he could play, right? Is he like showing up early to watch the Argos and see how they're ruining the pitch for him? Because there was quite a few times he mishit the ball and he just looked at the ground. He looks a bit like a petulant child, which is unfair because he's the size of a child. But the way he was flaunting his hands and yelling into the grass, I felt like he was blaming the pitch.
Well, that would suck if the pitch isn't up to the standard it should be, or what he needs to be. He's an artiste. He needs to be playing on a canvas. Yeah.
I tell you who's a hell of an artist that will be playing for Canada and looks pretty good playing back in Canada, Richie Larea.
Yeah,
Richie Larea looked outstanding. He set up Osorio again. I think that's back-to-back matches now that he's connected with Osorio. Mm-hmm. The way that he gets Jimmy to the byline, where he gets the defender so close, the defender who's trying to stay between the net and the player, and he gets the defender so close that he can put him on the outside and use that byline. Honestly, I don't think there's too many players, at least in MLS, as good at that specifically.
No, he's got so much pace off the mark as well. You know, that first 2-3 yards, he's explosive. And you could see when he goes at defenders, he's trying to slow the defender, slow him, and then get by him. And what I like as well, and you can see his game's changing as well, he's more calm in those areas as well. He's looking to pick out that pass, not just getting those areas and then just whip it in and hopefully somebody's going to be there. You can see his head's coming up and he knows exactly what he's doing and picking out passes. So also will be happy because Oso's making very good runs as well in the box. He's playing in those little areas.
And they're good buddies. They know exactly where each other are.
Yeah, it's true.
You know what? I got to say, even with the little time he actually played at Forest and seeing him there last night, he looks better for this time he's actually been there.
Yes.
Oh, for sure. It would help them improve 100%. You
know, I was going to say that too, to Jimmy's point about him being more confident and trying things that maybe we hadn't seen before or just with a bit more ease.
Yeah.
You can see that throughout the team, right? And Jimmy, you mentioned about what it's like just playing with these better players, raising everybody's level. It is so clear. And even someone like Crescito, who at first you could tell step above everyone else. Once now that he's sharing the pitch with Insigne, holy hell, the level of the two of them, but more noticeable in Crescito because we'd seen him without Insigne in front of him. Their overlaps, their runs, it's amazing.
Yeah. No, just look, when better players come in, especially when you get a few coming in at the same time, it just elevates everybody. The standard in training gets better. The tempo's faster. You know, there's more demand on every single player to perform, to keep the ball, not give it away cheaply. You know, and everybody wants to play in a side with great players. So everybody starts pushing themselves because you want to be on that pitch now with these players. You don't want to be sitting on a bench or sitting up in a stand.
That Insigne goal, I got to say, was just talk about artists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And B, you were Bradley. talking about what was it like on television. It was so exciting to see that domination after the Timbers drew the game. That last 15, 20 minutes, TFC looked out of sight. They looked amazing out there. And from Richie running up the right side to getting it over to Insigne, Akinola missed, like the keeper made a great save. But there were chances upon chances. And Crescito moving the ball up, it was tremendous to see. It was an exciting game.
In the past, TFC would collapse. right? So they'd be hanging on. That if they take the foot off the pedal and they get burned like that, especially against a team that's much better than their record in Portland, that was it. That was the end of it. And so I'm standing there thinking, oh, here we go again. The team hasn't really changed that much.
Did it feel like that in the stands too? Did people deflate when that when the Timbers?
Well, they did at the goal, but I think to your point, TFC, like kind of off the kickoff, the next minute they looked like they raised it a level, and then that they were gonna try and run down Portland's throat, and they did that, and they kept it up, and then they, to be honest, the 3-1 might even flatter Portland, I think, as a scoreline. Because I feel like TFC were better than that. So
TFC is fun to watch. Like when they're all connecting, everybody on that pitch, and they're all in sync, they're fun to watch.
Yeah,
they are.
And they're only going to get more fun when Ronaldo shows up and plays in between Bernardeschi and Insigne. That's my prediction. Because obviously he's leaving and terminating his contract, right?
Yep.
Isn't it bizarre when you look at like Richie Valera's situation? He comes back to MLS, so he's coming back to a lesser league, and he's playing with Insigne. Hold on a minute.
Yeah, it's true.
Nottingham Forest would love to have Insigne.
Yeah.
Honestly.
But they couldn't afford his wages.
No. Hell of a situation.
Well, they could, but.
Montreal keep winning.
Yeah.
Late goal, well, not too late, Lapalainen in the 69th minute, but they win in Houston 3-2, which I always feel like should be worth more than 3 points, because just surviving Houston, Jimmy, feels like it's more deserving. It's worth more. The point total should be higher if you win away.
Especially in the summertime going down there. Ooh, it's not good.
Deadly. Absolutely deadly.
I couldn't imagine. It's tough for the fans watching. Like when it's that hot.
Oh.
I think that keeps fans away. That's why I think why Tampa Bay played baseball inside that dome, although they're going to move, I guess. But it's like it looks like it's crap inside and it's too hot outside.
100%. I think it keeps people away. And it's unfortunate. I mean, look at the Houston Astros play in a retractable roof, and it's hardly ever open at that stadium.
They did a pretty nice job with that because there's a lot of natural light coming through there, right?
They designed that well.
Yeah.
The Whitecaps lost to the Galaxy, which will be a big blow to them because the Whitecaps are kind of in a similar situation to TFC where they've got to keep racking up points and can't afford to drop any if they're going to make the playoffs. And the Galaxy are a team that haven't exactly been great, but it looks pretty good on Saturday.
Yeah, Vancouver's got they're just fighting away there, but they're, I don't know, not sure they're going to do it.
No.
Yeah.
They don't play like a side that it gives me a lot of confidence that they're going to be able to compete.
No, that's true. I agree with you on that.
Yeah. I think does that make losing the Canadian Championship final and missing out on the Champions League place next season when you have a full squad and you've got Insigne and Bernardeschi and players that you want to sell, does that make it more of a blow to TFC to have lost that? It's not like they lost to a better team.
No.
They just weren't good enough on the night.
Yeah, they'll be disappointed, obviously, because that's what they were expecting, to win it, get in Champions League next year with the team that they have, maybe add a couple more pieces. So they'll be very, very upset with that. That's for sure. And then on the flip side, Vancouver is going to be buzzing because they'll be looking to, in the offseason, can we improve? Could we get a few more players so we can make a run in this Champions League?
I hope so.
Yeah.
But now that we're recording these a little earlier, after we do our post-game show, there will be some games that we miss. So in general, let's make it easy on ourselves, boys. We'll just ignore Serie A and La Liga, since it'll be a lot of headliner, 4 p.m. games that we just won't be able to get to.
Well, there was some Serie A games yesterday too, wasn't there?
Yeah, do you want to break down Lecce-Inter? Go ahead.
I thought Inter was on form on the day.
Right. And it's crazy they didn't start Lukaku, though.
Yeah, which is bizarre.
The helicopter crash, though. That was the most wild part of the game for me. That was nuts. That was nuts. Yeah. Well, we're also missing a Canadian Premier League game, which is my lead-in as we hit some of the Premier League scores. Canadian Premier League scores. York United is playing Edmonton shortly after we finished recording this. But they brought Mo Babouli in, your old club, Jimmy, which I think is pretty exciting. He's a hell of a talent. He's a
good player. Very good player, Mo. That's a good signing for them. Hopefully he gets in there, starts banging some goals because they definitely need some goals.
I don't know how many fans may have realized that even that he'd left. He went to Qatar for a cup of coffee to play in the it wasn't even the Stars League. The top division was the second division in Qatar.
Yeah.
So now he's back in the CPL, and I think he'll have quite an impact, similar to Osaze Di Rosario.
He was the one downloading all the Qatari, all the
our episodes
in Qatar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why we've dropped down the charts. Mo Babouli's left. Shit.
That's right.
You're right. Yeah. He had the whole team out there.
Uh-huh.
But there's hardly anybody lives in Qatar, so I can't imagine the second division would be that many people watching it, number one.
Fair.
Number two, the standard. He must have scored a mittful.
I didn't even know they had a second division.
I didn't know they had a first division.
Until they won the rights to host the World Cup, they probably didn't have a second division. Jimmy.
Yeah. They're the size of like a little bigger than Vancouver Island. I checked it out.
Actually, is that the...
Yeah, they're like 4,000 square miles and Vancouver Island's 12,000 square miles.
And it's for as sparse or not as population dense as the island is.
Yeah, I think there's 24 million in Qatar, I think, isn't there?
Okay.
And only a few hundred thousand citizens.
On Vancouver Island, it's only a few hundred thousand?
No, there's just under a million people live on Vancouver Island.
Wow. Yeah, Victoria, not the major city that people think, at least population-wise.
That's the whole island's under a million.
Mm. Yeah. It's a beautiful city.
Mm-hmm. Pacific beat Atletico 1-0, which is a good result for Pacific. And they sold Wero Diaz. Where did he go, Jimmy? God, I didn't write this down. It slipped my mind.
Mexico.
Norway.
Was it Norway? I thought he went to Mexico. I thought he went back. Did he go to Norway?
Norway via Mexico.
Norway via Mexico. He flew from Pearson. So, yes, I can understand
That's
that.
Right. Went to Cancun for a week.
Did he really?
Drank tequila. Went to Norway.
Yeah. The club is called Sogndal. Sogndal.
Yeah, that's a good club.
Yeah. Their first division club.
Yeah.
Norway. They've got several divisions in Norway. Bit ahead of Qatar in their football infrastructure. Good.
Oh, JC's posted the population of Vancouver Island at 864,864.
Wow. It's the size of Mississauga, but it's much more beautiful. No one's ever been to Mississauga and said, God's country.
Yeah.
Pretty sure they say that when they go to Tofino. I got to do it, man. I've been to Vancouver a few times now, but I've never been to the island.
Tofino, that Pacific Rim Park, Long Beach. Amazing.
Footy Prime away day. Can we do a big Pacific game?
Yeah. Well, I'll go sleep at Craig's dad's house.
Oh.
Yeah, we can all bunk in there for sure.
Yep.
I thought Rob Friend was going to put us up since he's moving back to Vancouver, lower mainland. You can take care of it. You can take care of yourself in watching the Premier League by having a subscription to Fubo, and you can help us out if you subscribe at FuboTV.com/footyprime.
And if you're watching the halftime show and the whole time show, our boy JC has the Fubo TV and the Premier League and the Footy Prime logo as his background. So what's interesting to me is to see how long that will not get flagged, to see if that will get flagged at all. Who knows? Let's see. Flag us.
Who knows how things work?
Don't draw attention to it, Wonger.
Yeah. Wait, mention it. I mentioned it once, but I think I got away with it. Don't mention the logos. Well, boys, we had a hell of a week, and now we deserve a couple days away from each other. So for those of you Footy Primers who are so loyal and always downloading and engaging with us on Twitter, footy_prime, thank you. And please, keep on doing it.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.